Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah, daf Chav Vav. We left off on daf Chav Hey Amud Beis, two lines from the end of the page at Tanur Rabbanan. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Zecher Nishmas Gabriel Simcha Ben Shner Zalman Halevi, and it's also sponsored by Henry Orlinsky Le'ili Nishmas, his father Menachem Yitzchak Yaakov Ben Yaakov Yisrael, who was one of 10 siblings to survive the Holocaust by jumping off the trains to Treblinka, and after fighting in 1948 in Israel, came to America and left a legacy of generations of Shomrei Torah mitzvos, of which 9 grandchildren now live in Eretz Yisrael with their families. He wished that all of his children and their children would move to Eretz Yisrael. May his neshama have an aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to continue the discussion of Osik B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah, and the Gemara is going to talk about certain examples of Osik B'mitzvah, and then we're going to transition into not only our Osik B'mitzvah Patur from Sukkah, but Holchei Drachim are Patur from Sukkah. So we're going to talk about regular Holchei Drachim versus Holchim L'Dvar Mitzvah, and what the difference is between the two as far as the Patur from Sukkah. Then we're going to discuss the Patur of a Chola and a Mitzta'er from a sukkah, and the difference between those two peturim, the difference between the petur of being a chola versus being a mitzta'er from the sukkah. And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to talk about achila sarai and shena sarai chutz l'sukkah. A person takes a little, doesn't eat a meal, a little snack, doesn't take a full night's sleep, a little nap outside of the sukkah, and also as far as sleeping and napping relates to tefillin, we're going to compare and contrast the dinim of sukkah with the dinim of tefillin. In fact, the Gemara is going to have three different prices that seem to tell us three different things about sleeping and tefillin, and we're going to reconcile all three prices. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to have to define what is Shena Sarai. How little do you have to sleep, and how much do you have to sleep for it to no longer qualify as Shena Sarai? Then the Gemara is going to discuss a person going to sleep in his, not just going to sleep in his tefillin, but Tashmish Hamita as it relates to tefillin. And then if we get there, the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis is going to talk about small amounts of food outside of a sukkah. It's going to tell a story, and we're going to have to try to figure out how that story fits in with the halacha that the Mishnah says. So let's begin. Two lines from the bottom of the page. Daf Chaf Hey Amud Beis. Tan Rabbanan Chasan v'Hashushvinin v'Kol B'nei Chupa P'turim Min Atfilin Min Atfilin V'Chayev B'Kriyas Shema. The Chasan, the people who are helping the Chasan out, and all the other B'nei Chupa, all the people in the wedding party, are Pater from Tfila, from Tfilin, and they're all Chayev in Kriyas Shema. Mishum Rabbi Shila Amru Chasan Pater v'Hashushvinin v'Kol B'nei Chupa Chayevim. But Rabbi Shila said, no, the Chasan is Pater, but the Shushvinin and all the Bnei Achupa are going to be Chayiv in Kriyashma. Well, what's the difference? So says Rashi, Mishum Rabbi Shila Amru Chasan Pater, Ritap Rashi, Chasan is Pater in Kriyashma Detarid, but Shar Bnei Achupa Chayavim. Why? V'les Lulani Tarei Osik Mitzvah Pater Mitzvah. That all, even though the Shar Bnei Achupa are doing a mitzvah, they're helping out the Chasan, but apparently the Mishum Rabbi Shila holds that there is no such din as Osik B'mitzvah, pater min mitzvah, and even the Tanakhama that says Chayavin b'kriyashma must reject the notion of Osik b'mitzvah, pater min mitzvah. Now that is a big chiddush to suggest that there's a whole group of Tanaim that disagree with this basic principle of Osik mitzvah, pater min mitzvah. Rov Rishonim disagree with Rashi on this point. The Ran, the Ritva, they point out that L'kulei Alma, Osik b'mitzvah, pater min mitzvah. According to the Tanakhama, the Chayavin b'kriyashma, because how much the Kavanah does it take already? You only have to have kavanah for the first pasuk, so it's efshar l'kayim shneim. We already learned yesterday that Tosfos holds that when it's efshar l'kayim shneim, when it's possible to fulfill both mitzvahs, you got to do both mitzvahs. That's why, even though I'm wearing tzitzis right now, I'm still chayiv in other mitzvahs because it's efshar l'kayim shneim. But tefillah and tefillin, the Tanakhama would say, no, that takes a lot of kavanah. That's not going to be easy to do, and it's going to be it's going to distract you from the mitzvah that you're already doing and helping out with the wedding. So, but Osik Mitzvah is in fact Pater Min HaMitzvah, and Rabbi Shila Pater the Chasan even from Kriyashma, because of the level of Tirda that the Chasan is experiencing, the level of distraction that the Chasan himself is experiencing, would make it E'efshar L'Kayim Shnehem in the judgment of Rabbi Shila. So whereas Rashi says both of these Tanaim reject the principle of Osik Mitzvah Pater Min HaMitzvah, the other Rishonim say no, they accept the principle of Osik Mitzvah Pater Min HaMitzvah. It's just that they're trying to figure out when is it Efshar L'Kayim Shnehem, when is it not. So two lines from the top, last one, line Tanya, Amr Rabbi Chanani ben Akavya. Kosei Sfarim, Tefillin, and Mezuzos, people who are sofrim, who write svarim, tefillin, and mezuzos, hein, not only the people who write them, but tigrayim, the merchants, the tigrayim, the retailers, the kala oskin b'melech ha-shamayim, and anyone whose job is involved in melech ha-shamayim, la'asuyeh mochrei tcheles, and that includes even people who sell tcheles, who sell tzitzis, while they're engaged in their work, they're part of everything, from tefillah, from tefillin, from all mitzvahs of the Torah. Because this is aligned with what Rabbi Yossi Aglili taught us, that osik b'mitzvah is part of a mitzvah. So Rashi writes that hein tigrayin, Rashi writes in Dibra Masl tigrayin, that people who buy from the sofrim in order to sell and make them available to other people. That's what we're saying is potter. So there is a diuk the Magen Avraham makes in Siman Lamed Ches and Hilchos Tefillin, that if the merchant is doing it just to make money, then he's not called an osik b'mitzvah. Meaning, if the purpose that someone moves to a community and he notices that there's no one selling any stam, there's no one selling any sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzos, and of course the Jewish community, they need people who sell these things, they need to have it available, so he knows that that's not a good way to make a living. You don't make too much money selling stam, but he wants to do it anyway because he knows that the community needs it. That's when we're saying he's an osik b'mitzvah. But if a person figures out a business model through which, this is the best way he can make money, and that's his primary motivation, is to be able to make a business out of it, then says the Magen Avraham, that would not qualify as an osik b'mitzvah. So the Magen Avraham says, but the problem is, in Bav Metzia Daf Pei Vav, they say that a Shomer Aveda is considered an osik b'mitzvah, even if he gets schar for the Shmiras Aveda, even if he gets paid for the Shmiras Aveda. So it sounds like even if it's a business, even if it's something that you're doing in order to make money, you're going to be considered an osik b'mitzvah. So the Magen Avraham says, no, it depends what your Iker Kavana is. When your Iker Kavana is to do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, even though you happen to get paid, you're considered an osik b'mitzvah. But if you're a merchant and your Iker Kavana is really to make money, then you're not considered an osik b'mitzvah. If you're a merchant and you have to charge, because otherwise you're not going to be able to continue being a merchant, but your Iker Kavana is really to provide the community with their Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah needs, then you are considered an Osik B'mitzvah. Merami Sada, the Netziv, raises a question on the Diyuk of the Magen Avraham in this Rashi, because people who write Tefillin are also doing it for their Parnasa, not only the Shei Mitzvah, it's not only Tigrayan, the Sofrim themselves also make a living. So some answer the Magen Avraham that when the person's writing the Tefillin, he's doing it the Shei Mitzvah, it's just that the reason he agrees to write and not to take some other job is because he's going to make some money doing it, is because people are going to pay him, but he's clearly doing it l'shei mitzvah. The reason he chose that profession is not because he thought that was the best way to make money. If it is the reason he chose that profession, it was not a wise decision. But the reason he chose that profession is because he wants to do something l'shem shemayim, and he knows that he's skilled at being able to do that. But elamai, he wouldn't be able to continue doing it unless he charges for his services. Tan Rabbanah. So the Braisa tells us holchei drachim b'yom p'tur min asukah b'yom. If someone is traveling during the day, they're put from sukkah while they are traveling during the day. As Rashi points out, d'chsiv b'sukkos teishvut ke'en yeshivas beiso. K'shem shkol ha'shana eino nimna melachs b'derach b'schara, kach kol yom ha'sachag, she'eno yom tov lo tzricho ha'kosav l'mnoa. Just like you wouldn't stop yourself from leaving your house throughout the rest of the year, so you treat your sukkah the way you would treat your house. You go out for schara, you go out for business, you go out to work each and every day, so you're allowed to leave your sukkah each and every day to go to work. And as Tos points out, it's derived from the principle of Teshvu Ke'ein Taduru. And the Ptur of Mitztair as well is also based on Teshvu Ke'ein Taduru, because a person wouldn't stay in a place that he's Mitztair V'chayavin Belayla. But if you're only Holchei Drachim Bayom, it's true you're Patur Min HaSukkah during the day, but you are Chayav in Sukkah at night, because you're not Holchei Drachim anymore. Holchei Drachim Belayla, Ptur Min HaSukkah Belayla V'chayav Bayom. If you're traveling at night, so you're Patur from Sukkah while you're traveling, but you're Chayav during the daytime. Holchei drachim b'yom u'b'layla, then p'tur min asukkah bein b'yom bein b'layla. If you're traveling both day and night, then you're p'tur from sukkah both day and night, meaning whenever you happen to be traveling, that's when you're p'tur from sukkah. So that's the question over here. When Rashi gave an example of holchei drachim, what does Rashi say? He says that you're going b'schora. You're just like you would not be nimna milechas b'derech b'schora. You wouldn't prevent yourself. You wouldn't hold back from going for business purposes from leaving your house. So too, when it comes to a sukkah. So the Achronim discuss, and what if you stam just want to leave? You wouldn't stop yourself from leaving your house, just stam to take a trip, just to enjoy a day with the family on a Sunday or something, to go out with the family. So would you say the same thing as far as sukkah, that you go to an amusement park, you go to a hike or something, so you patur from sukkah that whole day, because you're holchei drachim during the day, it's a teshuv gein deduru, it's something you would do during the year. So if Moshe has a tshuva about this, and it goes Moshe Archaim Chelik Gimel Simen Sadi Gimel, where he says if you're going derech tiyul, it's you're not patur from sukkah, because the svara is that only when you're going for some sort of real need that forces you to leave your house throughout the rest of the year, so do we say that on sukkahs also you don't have to prevent yourself from leaving your house on account of that. But something that's not machmas hechrich, it's machmas ratzon v'taiva v'hana'a bilvad. It's only because you're interested in doing something. You like to go to a ball game, so that's not considered something that forces a person to leave his house throughout the rest of the year, and will not pater him from sukkah. He says, mashal ma davadoma, a lot of times a person throughout the year, you'll have, or if you have a person who, let's say, for whatever reason, he enjoys camping in his backyard, so he'll just go out in the middle of the, you know, go out each couple of nights a week, and pitch a tent in his backyard, and sleep in his backyard. You're going to tell me he doesn't have to sleep in the sukkah a couple of nights a week of sukkahs because he enjoys camping, so that's what he normally does during the year? Says Rav Moshe, I can't imagine, it can't be. It has to be that Rashi's being meduyak over here when there's something forcing you to leave your house. But not just stam, that you want to be mitayel. I always get the question, someone's at a baseball game, Yankee playoff game or something, on sukkahs, chalamoy, am I allowed to eat here? Meaning I go to a Yankee game during the year, so I'm going to the Yankee game now. They don't have a sukkah over the stadium, so are they allowed to eat here? So then as it starts raining, they say, oh, it's raining, okay, now I'm allowed to eat. So because they're mitztayer. But you're sitting in the rain, right? How mitztayer are you, really? I don't know. But if it's not raining enough for them to stop playing, right? Is it raining enough to... it's a good question. But so the Rav Moshe then writes that anyway, it's not a good idea to try to avoid the mitzvah of sukkah, because we know the Gemara Menachos Taf Mem Aleph tells us that if a person doesn't wear a beged adal kanfos, and therefore he's not chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis, so it's true, he's not in a technical violation of anything, but b'din ritcha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is otherwise angry, he's going to take out his wrath for that as well, for not for trying to avoid putting ourselves in a situation of a mitzvah. But Rav Moshe says, it doesn't have to be business. It just has to be the kind of thing where it's a unique opportunity. Let's say you went to a different country for sukkahs, and you're only there for sukkahs, and you've never seen the sights in that country. There are things that you want to see there, and you have no other opportunity to see it there. Then he says, then even holchei drachim are going to be patur from sukkah. He says, just stam. You want to take a trip from your house, that's not enough to patur from sukkah. You want to go to the Yankee game, that's not enough to patur from sukkah. But you're traveling somewhere abroad, and you're never going to be able to see that place again. And that's where you're spending sukkahs. Rav Moshe thinks in a different shuv in Ebenezer, Chelik Dalet, Simlan Beis Oschas, that would be a valid reason. There are others. Rav Shlomo Zalman in Halicha Shlomo says a little differently. He says holchei drachim are only patur from sukkah when they couldn't have done that trip beforehand. But if you're holchei drachim that you could have done the trip before sukkahs, then you're not going to be patur from sukkahs. He compares it to what the Ramah writes in Tafresh Mem, that someone who's mekis dam is chayiv in sukkah. If someone does bloodletting, he's chayiv in sukkah. The Ramah gets it from Hagos Hashri, and one of the reasons that he's chayiv in sukkah is because he could have done that because of dam before sukkahs, or he could have waited till after sukkahs. Just because he chose to do that during sukkahs, that's going to patur him from mitzvah. So the same is true with holchei drachim, that when it's for business, you got to work every day. So you couldn't just do it before or do it after. You have to do it on sukkahs also. But when it comes to a trip that you could have taken at any time, and you're just choosing to take it on sukkahs because that's when it's most convenient for you, that's not going to exempt you from sukkah. Holchin l'dvar mitzvah. That's all just holchei drachim, not for a mitzvah. But holchin l'dvar mitzvah, if a person is traveling for the sake of a mitzvah, peturim bein b'yom, bein b'layla. doesn't even matter when you're traveling. If you're traveling only by daytime, only by nighttime, you potter both by yom and by laila. Just like Rav Chis Rabbi Rafuna, when they would spend the Shabbos of the Yom Tov by the Resh Kalusa, Havugani Araks and Desura, they would sleep by the riverbanks. So Amra Anan Shluchim Mitzvah Anan Pturin, and the reason that they were allowed to do that they were allowed to sleep by the riverbanks and not build themselves a sukkah, is because they said we're Shluchim Mitzvah, and Shluchim Mitzvah apart from sukkah, even while we're resting, even while we're not actively traveling. Tan Rabban Shomrei Ha'ir, people who are not people who are traveling, not people who are going with Var Mitzvah, but Shomrei Ha'ir, people who are on security detail of the city. So Biyom Peturim in a sukkah, Biyom V'chayvim B'layla. If their shift is during the day, so apart from sukkah during their shift during the day, but they're chayvim in sukkah at night. Shomrei Ha'ir B'layla Peturim in a sukkah B'layla V'chayvim B'yom. If their shift is at night, so they're patur at night and they're chayv during the day. Shomrei Ha'ir Bein B'yom Bein B'layla. If they're doing a 24-hour shift, Pter min sukkah bein biyom bein belayla. Then they're pater from sukkah both day and night. Shomrei ginos upardesim pterim bein biyom bein belayla. Someone who's guarding the gardens and the orchards, so he's pater both by yom and belayla. So says Mar, why should he be pater? He's out there guarding the orchards. Lev the sukkah hasam belesu. Just build the sukkah out there and sit in the sukkah. Meaning, what prevents him from guarding the orchards from inside a sukkah? After all, the sukkah is only at three walls, so you're able to see the orchard. So Abaye Amar Teshu came to Dura. Abaye says, Enochinam, it would be possible to build a sukkah, but you only have to treat the sukkah the way you treat the house. And therefore, Teshu came to Dura. You leave your house to go guard the orchards, so you're allowed to leave your sukkah to go guard the orchards. Rav Amar Pirtzakor Laganav. Rav says, no, it's going to be a fundamental flaw in the way that you're guarding, because if you're enclosed on three sides and it's a giant orchard, people are going to be able to steal things and it's going to be out of your line of sight, so you're not going to do a good job. My Benai, what's the nafkamina between them? Ikid Benai, the commander Karya de Piri. Let's say you're watching just a pile of fruit that's all on one side of the sukkah where you don't have any blind spots, even from inside the sukkah. So then, according to Abaye, you would still be Patur because Teshuva came to Duru, but according to Rabbi, you'd be Chayiv because there would be no issue of Pirtzer Kor Laganav. Tosus points out that when Rabbi says Pirtzer Kor Laganav and not Teshuva came to Duru, Tosus points out, Lav Mishum de Lesle the Rabbi Drusha Teshuva came to Duru, the Brisa he would come on Pirkin. It's not that Rabbi rejects the principle of Teshuva came to Duru, he does agree that a Mitzdair is Patur from Sukkah, for example, that there is such a rule called Teshuva came to Duru. He disagrees with this application of Teshuva Ken Tadiru. He doesn't think that this would be an application of Teshuva Ken Tadiru. So that, you have to figure out why not. Meaning, what's wrong with this application of Teshuva Ken Tadiru? Possibly just because that's where you happen to be for sukkahs. Say, no, Chinami, it's not your bayis kavua, but you have to treat a sukkah like a bayis arai. And if you go away somewhere for a week, you stay somewhere, you build a hut or something, so let that hut be a sukkah while you're watching the Gino Supardesim. So this would not be, not fit into the qualifications of Teshuva Ken Tadiru. Then we move on. Cholin and Misham Sheyem. The Mishnah said that people who are sick and people who are helping those who are sick are part from Sukkah. So Tan Rabban Cholin Sha'amru Lo Cholin Sheish Basakana. When we talk about a sick person being part from Sukkah, he does not need to be dangerously ill in order to be part from Sukkah. Elavilu Cholin She'ein Bo Sakana. Even someone who's a Cholin She'ein Bo Sakana, someone who's just a little bit sick. Afilu Chash Be'enav, Afilu Chash Barosho, a person has a problem with his eye, a person has a problem with his he has a headache or something like that. So even that is enough to patu you from sukkah. If you look at Tosas, afilu chash beinav, Tosas says it doesn't mean that you're going to lose your eye. Afal bishen bo sakonas ayin, the sakonas ever sakonas nefashas afilu chalulav es hashabbos kun much parakein ma'amid and gabe ayin shemarda. Because if you have sakonas ever, you're allowed to be mechal shabbos even for that. Over here, you don't have to meet that criteria of what you're allowed to be mechal shabbos midoraisa for. It just needs to be a chala, just a person who's not feeling well, a chala shein bo sakana, someone who's just not functioning properly. So he has his eye is hurting him, his head is hurting him. So Amram Shum Gumliel, Pamachas Kashti Be'ina B'Kisri, says one time I had an eye ache in Kisri, V'hita Rabbi Yossi B'Ribi Lishrani, M'sham Sheikhot Sosoka, and Rabbi Yossi B'Ribi allowed me and those who were taking care of me to sleep outside of the Sukkah. Rab Sharol Ravacha Bardalo, the Migna B'Kilta B'Sukkah, Mishum Baki. He Rav allowed Rav Acha Bardla to sleep in some sort of canopy in the sukkah to protect him from the bugs that were in the sukkah. Rava Sharaleh, Rabbi Acha Bar Adla, the Migna Barmi Metalalta, Mishum Sircha de Gargishta. He allowed him to sleep outside of the sukkah because of the smell of the floor of the sukkah. It was just too much to take. So Rav Latameh, Rava Mitzar, patim from the sukkah. If the sukkah stinks and it's difficult to stay there, so then you're patim from sukkah, right? That's what we learned back on Daf Yud Beis. And if you have smelly schach, even though it's gidulei karka and it's ainu mekabel tuma, that it's a problem. Midrabanan, we don't allow you to use smelly schach because you're going to leave the sukkah. Well, who allows you to leave the sukkah? It could be that you're going to be patim from the sukkah because it's going to be mitzar. So you're not allowed to build a sukkah that's going to create a sense of mitzar that you're then not going to have to sit in. So a person should have a sukkah that has as ideal conditions as possible. But wait a second, didn't we learn in the Mishnah that a chola is patur from sukkah? That implies that just being mitzar is not enough, that you need to be at a higher level of tzar called a chola, that you need to actually be physically ill. So how come we're saying now that even a mitzayir is patur from sukkah? Mishnah said a chol is patur from sukkah, not a mitzayir. So says Gemara, no, they're both patur, but there's a difference between the level of patur. Amri chola hu u mishamshav paturim. Mitzayir hu patur mishamshav lo. A chola is pater, and so are the people who are taking care of him. A mitzayir is pater, but people caring for a mitzayir are not pater from sukkah. So that's the difference between a chola and a mitzayir. Then we said, ochlin achilas arai chutz l'sukkah, that a person can snack outside of a sukkah. He can have an achilas arai outside of a sukkah. So the kama achilas arai, what amount of food, what quantity of food would still qualify as an achilas arai? So says Gemara, two opinions. Amar Rav Yosef, Tarti Otlas Bey, two or three Beit Kibetim are still an achilas arai. Amar Abai, can't believe that. He says, Vazimn and Sagi Leilinishbachti, Vavale Sudas Keva. How much do you normally eat? That's a full meal for many people, to eat two or three Kibetim. So how can you say, and we're talking about Kibetim of bread, right? We're not talking about Shahakal food. So two or three Kibetim of bread, that's a full meal for people. How can you say that's not called achilas Keva? Ella Amar Abai disagrees with Rav Yosef. And he says, Kiditam barbe rav va'ayelakala. What's an achilas arai? The amount that a yeshiva student would eat before he runs off to the shir in the morning. I mean, it used to be that they would have two meals a day, two real meals during the day, and in the morning, many people still like this, in the morning you don't have a full meal, a breakfast. Breakfast is just something to just have in your system in order to give you a little bit of energy in the morning until you have your first full meal. So the Bar Bei Rav, before he'd run to the yeshiva, he'll grab a little something. So that's the amount of food that would qualify as an achilas arai. Tosus points out that dafka by Tosus in the end of Dibur Maskel Tartia Tlas says v'shir zeh dafka bepas. Depiri lo bo sukkah, because master will pass with you, but the kevah the two kachilas arai the pas. All of this is only if you're eating bread. Meaning, if you're eating, no matter how much you eat in terms of peiros, no matter how much you eat in terms of other foods, so that's still going to be an achilas arai. Because even if you eat an achilas keva amount of foods that are not chayiv in sukkah, that qualifies as an achilas arai. Well, one is allowed to have an achilas arai chutz l'sukkah. A person is not allowed to have a nap outside of the sukkah. You're not allowed to sleep a shenas arai outside of the sukkah. Now, why the difference? My time. Why would it be that we're more makel with eating than we are with sleeping? So the Gemara has a couple of possibilities. First possibility, Amar Avashi gzera shemayirdam, that there's more of a concern that you're going to lose control of yourself while you're sleeping and you're just going to sleep longer. You can say, oh, I'm just taking a little nap. How many times have we've done that? I'm going to learn soon. I just need to take a little nap before I learn. Next thing you know, there's not much time to learn left. Right? So a person is not always in control that they're not going to sleep longer. Yeah, but if that were the case, then how come we don't have the same concern when it comes to tefillin? By tefillin, we actually draw the line somewhere, and we say that you're allowed to take a shena sarai, you're allowed to take a nap in your tefillin, you're just not allowed to really sleep in your tefillin. If we're really choshish every time you're napping that you might really sleep, why don't we have the same concern concern for tefillin. The case by tefillin must be that you appoint somebody to wake you up in case you actually fall asleep. So we are concerned that you're going to really fall asleep in tefillin. But if you tell someone, look, if I doze, just elbow me or something, so you have someone watching out for you, then you're allowed to take a nap in the tefillin. So what's going to be when you're the guy sitting next to you that you asked to elbow you falls asleep himself, right? So that's not going to work. Now, when we say that you let a nap in your tefillin, it means in a way that's an extremely uncomfortable position, where if you were to fall asleep any longer, you would just wake up out of the sleep because your head is between your knees. It's not shaykh. So all of that is answer number one. Why is it that you're allowed to that you're not allowed to nap outside of the sukkah? Because of gzeira that you might come to really sleep outside of the sukkah. Says Gemara, answer number, and if you go with that answer, you have to reconcile why it's different than tefillin. So we worked on that, how to reconcile why by tefillin you're allowed to take a nap and there's no such gzeira. Rav Amar says a different explanation which doesn't need reconciling with tefillin. Rav Amar ein keva l'shena, that there is no such thing as a shena sarai, shena's keva. Meaning, you're not choshesh shema yirdam, because then by tefillin you'd have the same chashash. No, it's just that what's called the shena's keva really depends on the situation. Sometimes a person takes what they call a power nap, right? A very short nap, and all of a sudden he feels energized. So that's your shena's keva. That's all you really needed. And sometimes a person needs to sleep for a long time in order to feel energized. So there is no amount that you need to have in order to have a shena, in order to qualify as shena's keva. Why by tefillin do we distinguish between the shena's rai and shena's keva? That's different, because tefillin, it's not about the sleeping. It's about gezeira shemi afiach. It's a concern that a person might pass gas in the tefillin. So if that's the problem, then it's only going to be an issue. It's only going to be an issue if the person is asleep for a long enough time that's a legitimate concern. So you can't even compare the dinim of sleeping outside of the sukkah and the dinim of sleeping in tefillin. Now, the Ran writes, someone who goes into his house because it starts raining in the sukkah, so he goes into sleep in his house, and then in the middle of the night the rain stops. Says the Ran, you don't wake him up to tell him to go back to the sukkah just because it stopped raining, because at that point he's a mitzdayer, and a mitzdayer is part from sukkah. So cause for the tsar that was in the sukkah is gone, but to wake a person up is a mitzdayer. So Bikuri Yaakov, the Simitar Freish Lamates, he says he doesn't understand this. He says mitzdayer is someone who the yeshivas hasukkah brings him tsar. Mitzdayer doesn't mean stam, he has tsar in his life. It means that by being in the sukkah, that's what causes him tsar. If a guy went to sleep in the house because it was raining in the sukkah, and now it's not raining in the sukkah, and you wake him up, he may be annoyed that you're waking him up, but when he goes into the sukkah will not cause him any tsar. So it's not the sukkah that's causing him tsar, it's the fact that you woke him up that's causing him tsar. So why would that qualify as a mitzdayer that's part from sukkah? So the Bikuri Yaakov writes, so you have to say that the reason for the patur is because the chiv yeshiva b'sukkah is teshu ke'ein taduruf. Let's say you had something was going in, the heat broke in your house in the middle of the winter. So you went to a neighbor's house in the middle of the night, and then it kicked back in at 2 in the morning. Would you wake up the whole family and bring them all back to the house at 2 in the morning? They're already sleeping. Let them sleep through the night. The neighbor was nice enough to open their doors to you. So then you'll wake in the morning. You'll wake up and you'll go back into the house. So it's teshu ke'ein taduruf. You just wouldn't wake up in the middle of the night in order to go back into the house. Now, the Ben Ish Chai writes that if a person sees someone in shul that's falling asleep during Kriyas HaTorah, and it's sukkah's time, so Ben Ish Chai says, you better wake him up, you got it, because you're not allowed to take a Shena Sarai, chutz l'sukkah. So Chumrah, Rabbi Shimon Darshan on sukkah's time, because chashash, and someone might fall asleep. In the Sefer, in Chai Yadam, he says that the Gra was very machmir about that sleeping in the sukkah and eating all day in the sukkah, and that the Gra one time was anus to be in a place that he didn't have a sukkah, so he lo nasan tnuma la'af'ap. He would not take a nap. He wouldn't sleep if he was anywhere far away from the sukkah. He just wouldn't go to sleep, even if it meant depriving himself of sleep. The Gra was probably used to sleep deprivation, but that's why he would not even take any sort of sleep outside the sukkah, regardless of the circumstance. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a piece in the back of Halicha Shlomo where he has an entirely different read on the situation. He says, no, you know why you don't have to wake a guy up while he's sleeping in the house to bring him back to the sukkah just because it stopped raining? It's not because of mitzta'er. it's because he's sleeping. Sleeping people are patur from mitzvahs. You're only chayv mitzvahs when you're awake. If you're sleeping, you're patur from mitzvahs. So he says, not only that, not only do you not have to wake him up to put, so why do you have to sleep in the sukkah? Because you're not sleeping when you go to sleep. When you go to sleep, you're awake. So you have to go to sleep in the sukkah. It's just that it's impossible to go to sleep in the sukkah and then be sleeping somewhere else. So that's why you have to sleep in the sukkah. Shlomo Zalman goes so far as to say that if you have a sukkah where space is very tight and you need and a lot of people need a place to sleep, but there's not so much space for everybody to sleep. So one guy could tell his friend, you know what, I'm a vater. You can go and sleep in the sukkah. I'll give you the sukkah for the night. And then wait till his friend falls asleep and then pull his mattress out. And then he can go, you know what, because once the friend is asleep, he's not chayv in sukkah. So pull him right out of the sukkah so he has no mitzvahs because he's sleeping. And then you can go and take the sukkah. It's for you to go to sleep in the sukkah. It's not depriving him of any mitzvah. That's the chiddush Rosh Hashanah Zalman has, that there are no mitzvahs for sleeping people. I think he has like a Rabbi Yaakov Emden or something that says that if someone has tashmish hamita in his sleep and there's a baby that's born from that, that he's not mechayim the mitzvah puru of who or something like that because he was ain a mitzvah because he was a sleeping person. Some wild chiddush like that. Okay, Tanicha, there are three brises about sleeping in tefillin. So Tanicha, the one brise says yashna b'tefillin sheinas harai avalo sheinas keva, that a person could sleep a nap in the tefillin but not a sheinas keva. He cannot really sleep in the tefillin. V'tani idach bein keva bein arai, that he can even really fall asleep in the tefillin. V'tani idach lo keva v'lo arai, can't even take a nap, nothing in the tefillin. So how do we reconcile these three brises? No problem. Lo kasha had denakad lo biyadei. If you're holding the tefillin in your hand, then you cannot even nap, because the second you doze for a second, your fist will become unclenched and the tefillin will fall onto the floor. So you can't do that. Had manchi bereshe. Whereas when the tefillin are on your head, then you're allowed to sleep Shenas Arai, but not a Shenas Keva, and not the part of Sudri Lavei. And when you put the tefillin next to your head and you cover them in something, so you're not even wearing them, so then the Lo Nitna Torah LeMalachei Asharis, you're allowed to go to sleep in proximity to your tefillin. That's not a problem, even a Shenas Keva. The Kama Shenas Arai, now that we've been talking about taking naps, how much is a nap? How long is a Shenas Arai? So Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, Kedei Hiluch Mea Amma, the amount of time it takes to walk 100 Amos. Tani Nami, that's not a very long nap. Tani Nami Achi, Hayashin B'Tfilin V'Roa Keri. If a person is sleeping in his tefillin and then he becomes a Balkeri, meaning he's a mess, you know, from the Keri, as Rashi points out, Sarukh L'Salka Mirosho Ba'oda Keri Alav, he needs to remove the tefillin while he still has the Keri on his body. So Ochis B'Ritzua Ve'ino Ochis B'Ktzitza. He should remove the tefillin by holding on to the Ritzua of the tefillin and not to the actual bottom of the tefillin. Divrei Rabbi Yaakov. The Chamram Yashin Adam B'Tfillin Shenas Arai Avalo Shenas Keva. And the Chamram say a person is allowed to sleep a Shenas Arai in tefillin, he's just not allowed to sleep a Shenas Keva in the tefillin. The Kama Shenas Arai, how much is a Shenas Arai? Kedei Hiluch Mea Amma, the amount of time that it takes to walk 100 Amos. That's a Shena Sarai. Nothing to do with tefillin. In general, during the daytime, person shouldn't sleep, shouldn't take real naps, and therefore he shouldn't sleep, because Rashi writes, Biyom Mipnei Bittel Torah, because it's Bittel Torah to sleep more than a Shena Sus during the day. V'kama Shena Sus, how much does a horse sleep? Shisa Nishmi, just 60 breaths. That's a Shena Sasus, and that's the length of a person's nap when they're during the day. Horses sleep standing up, right? So I guess the idea is that even a person should lie down in a bed, that he should sitting over his Gemara, that you know you fall asleep a little till you your head shakes enough where you're woken up out of your sleep. So that's a pretty strict standard. Amar Abaye, Shinsei Demar Kidarav. Abaye says, you should know, the sleep of Mar was like Rav. Who's Mar? So Mar is a reference to Rabba Bar Nachmeni, who was Abaye's father. Not his real father, his adopted father. Abaye's parents died. Abaye was a Yasum. His parents died when he was born. So Abaye was adopted by Rabba Bar Nachmeni. That's what Rashi writes in Gittin, I think, that Abaye is not really his name. It's just that his real name was Nachmeni. And Rabba Bar Nachmeni named him after his father. But Rabbi Bar Nachmeni was uncomfortable calling him Nachmeni because it was his father's name. He was uncomfortable using his father's first name, so he called him Abaye, like a little Abba, like my little Tatala. So that's how he would refer to him. So that's how Abaye gets the name Abaye throughout Shas. Others say the opposite. But that, anyway, so Abaye knew better than anybody how Rabbi Bar Nachmeni lived his life. Meaning, it's one thing for people to say, oh, that Chashva Rav, he probably never sleeps. You don't live in his house. Maybe he sleeps 12 hours a night. You have no idea. When it's his children, they grew up in the house, and they're able to tell you that he never... Rav Mati Neuberger said that he never saw his father in a bed. He said he never saw his father go to bed. He would see him like at the table sometimes falling asleep with his Gemara, but he never, that's wild. I mean, he grew up in the house. How did he never see his father go to bed? Yep, so that's something. So the Kamashena Sasus, we just said, so Abai says, Shinsei Demaris Kidrav, Uda Rav Kidrebi. And the sleep of Rav is like the sleep of Rebbe. Uda Rebbe Kidrav. And Rebbe followed the sleep patterns of David Amelech. Uda David Kidrav. And David's sleep patterns were patterned after a horse's sleep patterns. Uda Susya Shisanishmi. And a horse only sleeps, Shisanishmi only sleeps 60 breaths. Abaye once took a nap for the amount of time that it takes to travel from Pubadisa to Beikovi, which is not very very long. So Kari Ale Rav Yosef and Masay Al Tishkov Masay Taka Mishnascha. So Rav Yosef said, "Oh, what a lazy guy! That how long is a lazy fellow going to sleep?" Meaning a very high standards that he should deprive himself of sleep in order not to be mevatel Torah. If a person goes to sleep during the day, I know I'm going to get like angry emails. How do you not say that this is not the way a young yeshiva bachur should act when they should go to sleep? I'm just reading the Gemara. This is not like my own commentary. I didn't write it. So Tan Rabbanan, the Brisa tells us as follows, that nichnas lishon biyom, if someone goes to sleep during the day, ratzah choleitz ratzah miniach. If he wants, he can take off his tefillin. If he wants, he can keep his tefillin on. But Laila, Cholei Tzveinu Maniach, Div Rabbi Nassim. But at night time, he has to take off his tefillin. He cannot keep his tefillin on, according to Rabbi Nassim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hayoladim Li Olam Choltzim Ve'inu Manichim, Mepresh Regilim B'tumma. That whenever a young person goes to sleep, he should always take off his tefillin, never keep his tefillin on, because he's Regilim B'tumma. And the Gemara assumes at this stage that Regilim B'tumma means that he's going to become a Balkari, because young people have more Hirhurim than older people. So Leim Aksav Rabbi Yossi Balkari Asul Laniach Tefillin. Wait, do you mean to tell me that a Balkari is not allowed to wear tefillin? And that's why he has to go to sleep without his tefillin? So Rabbi, b'yuladim v'nashu se'ni mayan askinu. No, we're not just talking about a young person who's taking a nap. We're talking about where his wife is with him. Shami yavoli de hergel davra. That it might lead to inappropriate behavior in the tefillin. So that's why he shouldn't have his tefillin with him even during the day. Tan Rabban, shachach v'shimish mitasal b'tefillin. If a person didn't realize, he forgot that he was wearing tefillin, and he had tashma shamita with his tefillin. Eina ochez lo beretzua v'lo b'ktzitza, at sheitel yadav yitla m'nei sheyadayim askani osein. He shouldn't remove his tefillin even by just holding on to the retzuos, whereas previously we said if a person becomes a balkari, we said he's eina ochez b'ktzitza, but he could be ochez beretzua, you could take the retzua. Over here we're saying, no, neither the ktzitza nor the retzua to remove the tefillin, because yadayim askani osein, he needs to do netilas yadayim first, because his hands are busy during tashmish, he's going to touch unclean parts, and therefore he has to do a netilas yadayim before that. It's hard to imagine such a situation that a person would forget that he's wearing tefillin. I don't know, I guess we can't relate to the whole experience of people who would wear tefillin kolayom, meaning when we're wearing tefillin, it's only for whatever it is, the 35 minutes that it takes to daven shacharis in the morning. So it's, our tefillin are quite large and uncomfortable. But still hard to imagine. But okay, says the Mishnah. They once brought Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai some food to eat. And they brought two dates and a pitcher of water from Gamliel. And in both cases, they said, "Halim l'sukkah." Bring them into the sukkah, meaning they refuse to eat even these small amounts of food outside of the sukkah. But when they gave Rabbi Tzadok less than a kebetza of food, he would wrap it in a cloth, or he would take it with his hands wrapped in a cloth, and he ate it outside of the sukkah, and he didn't bench. So three chidushim about how he behaved. First of all, he didn't touch the bread, so instead of washing, he just didn't touch the bread. Second is, he ate this amount of food outside of the sukkah. And third is that he didn't do Birch Samazon. Right, Rashi writes, Natal Bemapa means that Lo Natal Yadav, El Karach Bemapa Yadav Mishum Nikius. To keep his hands clean, he wrapped his hands in a cloth, but he didn't actually do Netilas Yadayim, because he held, apparently, that since it's Pachas Mikabetza, doesn't require Netilas Yadayim, and Yel Pachas Mikabetza doesn't require a Sukkah, and Yel Pachas Mikabetza does not require Birch Samazon. Why not? Because the Pasuk says, V'achalta V'savata Uvirachta, that only in Achila that's Yeshva Sviya is going to be Chayv in Birch Samazon, that's only Achila that's Yeshva Sviya is Chayv in Birch Samazon, and that's a Kabetza, but bracha rishona for sure requires, because a bracha rishona, even a kolduhu, you have to recite a bracha rishona. So there's an important tosos over here, which we're not going to have time to get into, but Tosis discusses what exactly the shir is for bracha achrona, and is it a machlokas in different sugyas in shas? Meaning, does one have to say a bracha achrona even if you eat pachos mikdesi, even if you eat a kezayis, even if you eat pachos mikabetza? And he brings a number of sugyas in shas, and then he brings what seems to be a stira between the Babli and Yerushalmi, whether one has to say a bracha achrona on a beria. Let's say you eat pachos even mikazayis, but it's a beria shlema, it's a full item. So maybe that requires a bracha achrona. Because of that possible stira, Tosa is always better, if you're having a beria, to make sure you also have a shir, so that you don't get into a suffix when it comes to bracha achrona. Okay, we'll stop there, and Hashem will pick up with the Gemara right after the Mishnah tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you.